Blog Talk Radio.
Hey man, I need a better car, I need a better crib, I need better insurance for me and my kids, I need a better job cause I need better pay, it's gonna take better bread for me to make a better way, I need better water to flow through my faucet, I dress to impress so I need a better closet, I love my family and love my friends, but the haters get you paper so I need more of them, I don't do it for the fame, but in this rap game man, being popular is like the only way to win, so my hooks are powerful, with dope ass lyrics, man all I need now is for the whole world to hear it, rappers be hating though, everyone's a critic, and scared to admit it, that deep down they fear it, my boys in the streets say I need better promotion, but when the pastor preaches say I need better devotion, man I just wanna sail every ocean, rock a couple boats and create some locomotion, man I just wanna fly to Philly skies, sipping on sake till I get the Japanese eyes, man. I'm all about my business, man. Yeah, I think I need a better business plan. Nowadays, you can catch me in a suit and tie. Don't get it twisted, fly tie, still ride or die. We can take it to the streets. We can take it back to wearing black boots with fatigues. Whoa. Cause I always been a soldier. I'm in it to win it, no limit, boy. I thought I told ya. Yeah, yeah, I thought I told ya.
Okay,
sophisticated COD. Come on.
Going through it, sort of like an ongoing movement, and my mom's knew it, she tried to read me songs through it, in and out of jail, no bail, my bond's stupid, can't explain the pain, so I write a song through it, they say the streets talk, real niggas respond to it, you can tell by how I walk, got a bond with the music, where your mind at, find time to lose it, my paradigm's a sign to shine, I'm translucent, the proof is, gotta decipher what the truth is, and you see it through that thug eyes, it's ruthless, and you see it through the big mouth, it's ruthless, won't you tell me, can you really see the truth? Yeah. They brain feed us, they can't reach us, some lame teachers. They wanna be us, the first lady was named Jesus. The game need us, I bang heaters, they can't see us. Plus I promise God, to spread love to the pain leaves us. Yeah, I hold it down, but my cheese up. Right, I'm from the ground, I build my G's up. Yup, yeah. If this is peace, put the peace up. Plus I'm trying to eat, we get feast, put your feet up. You right as fuck, if you speak and get up. Keep it corrupt, plus the preacher still compete for a buck. And if you speaking too much, you get easy. Cause when I let the chopper go, look like I'm beefing it up. I can't lose if I'm winning. With the 22 spinning, you see the coupe sitting. Come through with some roof missing. The truth is I'm sinning. Rocking the true religion. New blueprint vision in a blue suit chilling.
Yeah,
and I'm killing them.
Such a glorious event. Let's go. Una vida mayor, una vida mayor. The good energy over here, we living better than y'all. I wake up and do what I love up on this spiritual course. Running circles around you fuckers, got y'all niggas exhausted. Nah, it ain't luck, homie, blame it on the cuss. Plus the flow like titanium, baby, ain't never rust. Now you find me in the cut, most of vices, I gave them up. Now when I step up on the scene, most demons, they run them up. So bitch, you better duck, not even laws are enough. To place a nigga in the trash and try to call that shit love. Don't be a dud, step fire if you search for that buzz. Try to then conquer that, so I already know what it was. But yo, I'm not one to judge like you catch a charge. Cause I'm the enemy of the state, and the sector is large, get it? A lot of haters won't admit it, live gifted. I could tell by my son's shoe size, the time is ticking. A few spies speak true lies about my mission. Zero dark 30, accomplishment, how you living? Because I live and let it be, my motto's longevity. I'm all mine, so I ain't hearing what you said to me. When y'all rhyming, y'all having difficulty, technically I'm hot. Crack the clock pot with this verbal recipe. Such a secret, how your boys stacking paper off this underground flow like slave statues in Grenada. Hooray for us, to better living. Nigga, did you vote or what? Now fuck the system, when I depart, I bet they miss him. Gone, but back again, I'm dying a better death to live long, I admit it.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. It is 10:04 on a Wednesday night. You know what time it is. It's time to sign off for us, and I'm your host, Forrest Dudley. I'd like to thank you. I'd like to bless you for being here. I hope you've had a wonderful day, had a blessed day. Remember, you create your own happiness. Smiling can make a person turn that frown upside down. Hey, I've been having a good week. I'm up in here in D.C., hanging out, doing my thing. Tonight we have a special guest. I'm excited. I'm thrilled. Something we do kind of often on the show. We talk about some cooking every now and then. But we're talking about a lady who knows how to really cook. And I'm excited because I just looked at her website and she has some southern fried chicken on there. And you, woof! That chicken looks delicious.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, let's see. All right. So, if you want to find me, you can find me on Facebook, George.Mango at 904. You can also find me on Twitter at SoundOff 97413. You can also call in if you'd like to tonight, area code 347-989-1014. I say again. Area code 347-989-1014. And as we always do, we kick it, Lord. We kick it with the Ephesians 6:6-13, not with eye service, as man pleases, but the servant of Christ, doing with the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as well as Lord, and not with men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters do the same thing that's in them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of the persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand within the evil day, and having all done to stand, and let the church say, Amen. Now I'd like to introduce my wonderful guest, Miss Jennifer Nicole.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
Hi there. How's it going? I'm good. How are you?
Good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you just fine. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes. So would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. So my name is Jennifer, and my food blog is castironqueen.com, and that came out of my love for cooking on cast iron. Quite, you know, a literal thing.
So
I grew up in a family that loved to cook. You know, my mom, dad, grandparents, everybody. I was just surrounded with it. And I really started to experiment with cooking probably 7 years ago. I enjoy myself in the kitchen, experimenting, taking family recipes, and expounding on it.
And I appreciate you coming on the show and talking about your foods. And the first thing somebody's going to ask, when they're listening to the broadcast is this healthy food? And I mean, nowadays everybody wants to know, is it healthy food? So are you concerned about cooking healthy food, or how's that work?
I like to think of it as I throw some healthy stuff in there, but also like to do those comfort foods and like Southern classics that everyone likes to go to be bad every now and then. I do try and cook with as many fresh and organic ingredients as possible, because I do try to let people know that, you know, the produce and the vegetables and stuff in the store, they use a lot of pesticides and all that kind of stuff on it. So if you have a farmer's market close to you or can get fresh fruits and vegetables straight from the farm, get it, because it's such a huge difference in, number one, the vitamins and nutrients that are in them, and they're not using all the bad chemicals that they use you know, on that stuff. So, but yeah, I try to I try to keep it healthy.
Yes, you do. That's awesome. I try to, like I said, I try to promote that kind of stuff too on my show. Too. If you can do organic, please do it. And if you do organic, make sure you know where those products are coming from. Even if they say it's organic, you have to double check them.
Exactly.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm lucky that I live in an area where there's farmers markets everywhere. And so every Sunday there's one a few blocks from me, so I go and I pick out my fruits and vegetables for the week, and that's what I use. So yeah, if you have that available, use it.
Right. You also mentioned the cast iron skillet. Now let me say this, because I also am a fan of that cast iron skillet. I guess most people don't know that's a great way of cooking. It's kind of like the wok, you know?
Yeah.
And so can you kind of tell people about exactly why you like the cast iron skillet?
Well, with cast iron, I kind of feel like it gives the food a better flavor. And that comes from, you don't actually ever wash it. And that sounds funny, but you just rinse it. I rinse mine with hot water. Some people say never rinse it, but I rinse it. But what happens when you're cooking, the oils and the seasoning and everything from the food, like, soaks into the iron. And so over time, you develop what they call it seasoning, your cast iron. So, like, a well-seasoned cast iron, for instance, my grandma has had her cast irons for 50 years. And she doesn't have to use nonstick spray, her cast irons are like awesome to cook on. I tell her that that's my inheritance, I hope.
And
but,
I would tell you that's a great inheritance.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm still working on seasoning mine. I've had my one cast iron for, I don't know, probably 6 years. And I still haven't gotten into where I want it, but it's getting there.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, a lot of people don't know about that style of cooking. It's so awesome. Have you ever made cornbread in yours?
Yes. Yeah, I've made cornbread. I've made. You can make, when you have a cast iron skillet, you not only cook like meats and stuff like that in it, but you can bake in it. It's like an all-purpose
pan
dish. You can put it in the oven. You can heat it on the fire. If you're camping, you can put it over the fire, campfire. I mean, it's like an all-purpose, like, dish to use. Very versatile.
Oh, what's it? Yes, man, you're just making me go back to when I was growing up. I'm having flashbacks. So what's your favorite meal to cook?
My favorite meal is probably this enchilada casserole that was passed down by my grandma's grandma. And I don't know where my grandma's grandma got it from. It was probably passed down. But it's basically like a Mexican lasagna where you layer corn tortillas with like a filling that you make and then cheese and you just keep, oh, it's delicious. So good. Took it in the oven. Perfect.
Okay. Yeah, it's on your site. You mind if I give out the ingredients to what you're talking about?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's the enchilada casserole, right?
Uh huh.
Okay. So for my listeners, this I put the website on my page, and I also put the website in the chat room. So if you guys want to go ahead and look at it, please do. Because this thing looks delicious. I might have to make it myself. But I'll tell you the ingredients so you can go and look at it. And then she also has a YouTube video that goes with it, which is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. And the ingredients, you need a pound of lean ground beef, a pound of lean ground turkey. I love the combination of the two already. A half large onion, one large jalapeno pepper, one 8-ounce can of green chilies, one 10 quarter ounce of Rotel, one 10-quarter ounce of cream of chicken soup, one 10-quarter ounce of cream mushroom soup, one 10-quarter ounce can of tomato soup, and a half a cup of mild or spicy salsa, one teaspoon of crushed garlic, one large bell pepper, one tablespoon of salt, one tablespoon of black pepper, one tablespoon of crushed red pepper, it's optional, a half of a teaspoon of cayenne pepper, love cooking with cayenne pepper, that's also optional, one package of a 24-count corn tortilla, one block of Monterey Jack cheese, and one block of sharp cheese.
Yeah.
Now, what does the tortillas do for the casserole? Is that like your structure holder? Like
yeah, that would be sort of like the noodles in a lasagna.
Okay.
You know, that lays flat like you would lay out lasagna noodles. And then you just, all those ingredients go into, other than the cheese and the tortillas, all those ingredients go into one pan that you simmer on the stove together. So it's like a one or two dish, like meal. You just put it all together and then layer it. It sounds like a lot because there's a lot of ingredients, but you literally just pour it all together and let it simmer. So it seems kind of difficult to make, but it's actually really, really easy.
Well, it looks delicious. I'm looking at I'm not necessarily looking at the video, but there's like a clip, and I see that cast iron skillet right there. Man.
Yeah. I use that for everything.
If you go in your kitchen and it's missing, I have it. I'm just letting you know. I've got to get my own. Really, I have to get my own. My wife is half Hispanic, so when it comes to cooking Southern food, she grew up in Oregon, so she's not really cooking Southern food. And I'm from Louisiana, so I teach her how to make etouffee and how to make gumbo I eat tripe. She doesn't like it. I mean,
a lot of people are like, well, what is they wonder how the cream of soups, like, work in the mix, because it seems like a strange combination, but it actually works really well, and it just creates a really nice, like, it's like an enchilada sauce. Almost.
Right.
It's good. So yeah, and I do like it really spicy. So I do cook with the, you know, the chili peppers and the cayenne, but that's totally, like, optional.
So when you go to cook, do you cook, you're from a big family, the way that it sounds. You cook large portions and then save them? Or give it away, or do you cook specifically for your household?
Well, there's only two of us, so I end up making. I usually say I cook for like a family of four or five, and then a lot of times we'll have guests over, or I save it for leftovers. Like Sundays are kind of our leftover Sundays, where we just nosh on the leftovers from the week. But yeah, I generally cook in portions that, like, family size.
Okay. Because we have a problem with, well, we have a large family, too. We have family of five, well, family of four, but, I mean, oldest kids out, but sometimes he comes and eats at our house, too. So we're always running that problem. So when the kids start to leave the house, we're going to have to downsize. But I love eating. That's my weakness. I just love eating great food. And when I saw your page, I was like, man, I have to get her on because I'm such a foodie.
Well, you know what I say about cooking, especially for home cooks? It's all about the seasoning. It has nothing,
yeah.
Like, sure, the you know, you cook meat this way or whatever. I'm telling you, it's about your seasonings that you use. And a lot of home cooks don't season enough, and that's why people are like, oh, it's kind of bland. Well, I always say to put a little bit more than what you would think, and it's probably perfect. So, yeah, it's the seasonings.
So
I'm also
looking at your site, and you have like a wide array of things on here. What vegetables do you avoid, and what vegetables do you use more often than likely? Like I've never cooked with Brussels sprouts, but apparently Brussels sprouts are really good. So you know, it's kind of like
know,
that.
I've never cooked Brussels sprouts either. Like I don't know why I haven't. I just haven't had a chance. I've heard they're good too. But I really like green beans and asparagus and spinach. But I'm not a big fan of like canned spinach. I'm not a fan of canned vegetables at all. Like I either get frozen or fresh.
And why is that?
Canned vegetables to me taste, they kind of just feel limp to me. So I know that they say that they're picked at the peak of freshness and they have more nutrients and stuff, but I don't know. I'd rather just get some fresh vegetables and cook with
right.
that. They just seem to taste better. But, you know, like I was not a vegetable fan growing up. Like my parents had the hardest time to get me to eat them. So, like, I really learned how to cook vegetables and make them taste good. So, and I will admit, I am a big fan of butter, which, you know, people are like, oh, butter is bad for you. But, you know, it's all about moderation, I guess. Like, I am of the belief that you can eat anything you want as long as you eat it in moderation. So...
Okay, I'm about to ask you a question then. Cause
okay.
I have high cholesterol.
Uh-huh.
But I have high cholesterol, but I love eating pig's feet and eating tripe.
Uh-huh.
Is this something I grew up with? Would you ever put that on one of your menus or one of your recipes?
For someone with high cholesterol?
No. I was asking, would you ever cook something like that for someone who had, you know, high cholesterol or something like that? Would you avoid it?
I mean,
see, for me, that's comfort
yeah.
food.
I mean, you can use, like, alternative to butter. I mean, you can use things that are, like, you know, the diet stuff, I guess. And then... you know, flavor your stuff with, like, lemon and stuff like that, and you can get away with tasty stuff that's not super fattening, I would say.
Yeah. I don't know if you know this or not, but what's the point of zesting your food?
Oh, zesting the lemon?
Yeah, or orange.
So the zest of the fruit holds a lot of flavor. And so, like, so for instance, like, I like to cook, I mean, I'll be honest, I cheat on stuff, like, as far as baking. I'll buy, like, the box stuff, but then I add ingredients to it to make it taste homemade. So, like, let's say I'm making a lemon cake. I'll get a box cake, and I'll, instead of using water, I'll use lemonade, and then I'll zest some of the lemon, like get a fresh lemon rind and even like squirt a little bit of lemon juice in there too, and then zest the lemon into the cake mix, and it really makes the lemon flavor pop and tastes like a fresh lemon cake.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. It makes a big difference.
I've never listened to the broadcast again.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. And, like, for instance, if you're baking, like, any kind of cake, a box cake that you buy from the store, you can, like, When I buy a yellow cake, I put in vanilla, and I use milk instead of water. I substitute things to make it taste homemade.
And these are something that you've learned from your grandmother, or is this something that you picked up on along the way, or?
Some of the stuff, you know, my mom is a baker. Like, she actually kind of bakes professionally. Like, you know, people pay her to do wedding cakes and birthday cakes and cakes during the holidays and pies and all kinds of things. And so I learned a lot of my baking tips from her. But the milk thing I learned from a really good friend that I grew up with. She loved baking, and she taught me, you know, to sub the water with milk. So, yeah, it really makes a huge difference.
Okay, I've got another cooking question. I watch the Food Network all the time, and I love Chopped. And there was a judge on there who says that you should not mix cheese and fish together. Would you agree with that?
You shouldn't mix what?
Cheese and fish.
Cheese and fish. I don't know. I've never mixed cheese and fish. So I can't really say whether I would or not because I've never tried it. But I've never mixed it, so maybe it's not supposed to be mixed. I don't know. Do you mix cheese and fish?
No, I've tried it. It's not good together, but it's...
No. Well, you know, I like... Like a tuna sandwich, I'll put cheese on it.
See, that's what I'm talking about. For me, it doesn't taste good. That's what I'm going to say. I put cheese on my tuna, and it's like, ew, I don't want to eat that.
Well, I don't like cheddar with tuna. Well, no, I can't say that either because, like, people make, like, tuna melt with cheddar.
Yeah.
So I guess you can mix it with tuna and stuff.
Well, my wife, she makes it with artificial crab meat. And it tastes okay if you broil it, but if you like put it in or try to bake it, it just doesn't have the same taste. It's I don't know. I was just asking a general question because I've heard that, but I just wanted to get your opinion on it because you know everybody cooks different.
Yeah.
And do you feel like when you take your style of cooking from the South and you bring it to where you live right now on the West Coast, do you feel like a lot of people think you're a genius? like they marvel at your abilities to cook certain things very well?
They do. They're like, how do you do this? I'm like, well, it's not hard. You know, the funny thing about Southern cooking is it's really simple. It's just about, I'm telling you, it's just about the seasonings. And I just feel like people don't use enough. So it's not necessarily about the salt. I'm not telling you to layer on the salt, but there's so many different types of seasonings you can use, seasonings and fresh herbs and all kinds of stuff. Like when I do my fried chicken, I layer the seasoning. I put the seasoning on the chicken first. I put the seasoning in the flour that I bread the chicken with. I put the seasoning in the milk and egg wash that I dip the chicken in. So, like, there's seasonings in every layer of my fried chicken. And what I also do is I soak my chicken in salt water before I cook it because you can season your breading and everything, but if you bite into the chicken and the chicken has no flavor, if the breading's off, there's no taste. You have to layer your seasoning.
I know that's true.
Yeah.
Have you traveled to different parts of different regions of America and like, you know, kind of like incorporated those into your cooking style as well, or is you just strictly Tex-Mex Southern cooking?
Well, you know, living in Southern California, I've kind of picked up some of their, like, fresher Mexican food. Like, I make this one burrito that's kind of a cross between Tex-Mex and like the fresh California Mexican. So yeah, I've kind of like mixed a little. And then I also watch the Food Network nonstop. So what I tend to do is I don't usually take recipes and copy them down like word for word. I'll just kind of get inspiration and then like get in there and experiment in the kitchen and try something new. Is usually
well,
how I do
you
it.
Know, I really think you should go, maybe not on Chopped, because Chopped's a little, but I think you should try for something on the Food Network, because you have what it takes. I'm serious. You have, I mean, I've never seen, like, when I first seen your site, I mean, your page, and I was like, oh, this is nice and whatever, and then you started, like, everything that you did was so professional, like, even down to the pictures and the angle of the food, and it was just, you know, it was just, I mean, I know you're kind of a perfectionist in certain ways. I mean, I don't know you that well, but I know you, you know, I've known you for a while, you know, mutual friends. But it's just so, I mean, your page is so elegant. I mean, I can't boast about it more than, you know, what I already am now. It's just so professional, and it's Food Network quality page to me. You know?
Thank you.
Not a problem. I know sometimes my opinion don't count, but I mean, I've seen other places or other people try to do certain things, and it has never come to this degree of professionalism. And I'm looking at the site, and it's awesome. I mean, you got YouTube videos to go with your tutorial of the actual stuff, and it's awesome.
Well, I mean, you know, I've had friends ask me, how do you make your food look so good? And it's like a combination of two different things. When I plate the food, I make sure that it's colorful and that you can see all the little ingredients. And it's actually like staging. You have to, like, place the food certain ways to make it look good. And then I'm there taking pictures of the food, like Zick, my significant other, he's like, are we going to eat yet? Is it ready? I'm like, yeah, but I'm taking pictures. Hold on a minute. So he's got to wait for me to take the pictures, and then he can eat. So, it takes me a while to, like, and I've bought dishes specifically to take pictures with. So, like, it takes thought to, like, put these things together.
Yeah, I saw that with that 7-5 chicken. I wanted to grab that plate. So, I mean, let me go back to it. Let me just go back to it. I wish I could put it on my site, but where is it at? Jeez, I'm just going to talk about this fried chicken because it looks... Is that spinach? Is that collard greens or something? I don't know.
It's spinach. Okay. It's actually spinach and broccoli. And what I did was I fried some bacon and crumbled it up and then cooked the spinach and broccoli in the same skillet that I cooked the bacon in. I mean, I drained the grease out, but it still has that flavor with, like, butter and stuff. So, I mean, yeah, you're eating your vegetables, but that was, you know, a little bit of a decadent vegetable choice. It was good.
But I'm looking at it. It was good. And I thought it was, I was like, man, this cannot be beef and broccoli. It can't be beef. I said, man, there's strips of bacon in there. But, yeah, but I don't know. And then I'm looking at the plate. I'm like, she bought plate.
Yeah.
I swear. Like, she bought plate. And the way you position that chicken leg and that little scoop of mashed potatoes, I'm telling you, you're making me hungry right now, and I already ate. It's just, I mean, I'm telling you, that's my weakness, is fried chicken and mashed potatoes. I can have that every day if I could.
Well,
I love chicken.
My sister's favorite food is fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and macaroni and cheese. So I'm experiencing
that.
Yeah, that's my sister's favorite.
That's my favorite meal too. Well, let me not lie to you. I have a split. It's substituting the meat, it's either meatloaf or fried chicken, either or. But I my wife doesn't like having too many starches because, of course, I have diabetic too. So she's like, hey, have all these. And I'm from Louisiana, so I'm used to double starches. We have potato salad and rice dressing. So, you know, it's like I eat stew, and then I have potatoes with my stew. So I've been double dipping ever since I was born. So to have some macaroni and cheese with a side of mashed potatoes and a fat, big, juicy piece of chicken.
Well, you know, I really do try to cook vegetables with every meal, like just to make it balanced. But yeah, one thing I'm still trying to master though is homemade macaroni and cheese. I've tried a couple of different recipes and it just wasn't what I'm looking for. So I'm still looking for that perfect macaroni and cheese recipe.
Okay, can I tell you a story? Let me quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a macaroni and cheese story, so. All right, y'all. I've told the story before when I was talking about it, but I'll tell it again. Well, I was stationed in Germany, and it was Thanksgiving time, and my wife went back to the States to visit some family, and I went over to one of my sergeant's house, and we were good friends, and I said, okay, well, I'll make macaroni and cheese. Well, for some reason, I thought I would be cool and go out and party and then come back home and say, oh, it's easy. So what I did was is I took the noodles and I poured it in a big pan, glass one, and then I poured the milk on top of it, and then I placed the cheese on it, and then I put it in the oven.
Yeah.
Needless to say, that macaroni and cheese did not come out too good. So I brought it, but it's not going to be good. So the top layer was crunchy. the middle layer was crunchy. And the bottom layer, of course, it was big. Needless to say, we did not eat that, but
I have a funny macaroni and cheese story too. I have two younger sisters, and the youngest one was babysitting, and she called me one night and she said, "I'm making macaroni and cheese, but I think I did it wrong." And I was like, "Well, what did you do?" She's like, "Well, is it supposed to be soupy?" I was like, "No." She just did like the box like crap. She didn't drain the water. So we speak on her to this day. Like she's gotten to be she's married now, and so she's cooking more. So we gave her the hardest time about not cooking for years because she was a baby, so everyone cooked for her.
Right.
So now she's cooking and getting a little better at it. So.
Yay.
But yeah, like my family, I'm very spoiled when it comes to good food because, I mean, my dad cooks really well. His wife cooks really well. Like my mom's an amazing cook, and my grandparents are amazing cooks. And so, like, I've just really been fortunate to really learn how to cook and cook from scratch. And yeah, I take shortcuts, but if I had to, I could do everything like with basic ingredients, you know?
Right.
So
what do you think is the hardest, meals to cook, like breakfast, lunch, or dinner?
I would say, not that it's hard, but I think, because breakfast is one of my favorite meals, but just making a variety, you know, because, like, I'm not a big fan of, like, Eggs Benedict and stuff like that. So I don't really do that type of stuff, but I've been experimenting with varieties for breakfast. So I've got the dinners down. I've got the lunches down. And now I'm just sort of experimenting with different breakfast dishes.
And why do you think that breakfast is hard? I mean, I know you said the variety, but
it's not really hard. You know, breakfast is actually pretty simple. It's just, I guess, for me, it's the variety that's got me. I need some fresh ideas for breakfast.
So when you're watching the Food Network and you're seeing somebody prepare something, do you always say, well, I would have done this, or I could have done that better, or, you know, I never thought of that?
Well, that's how I usually, like, when I get my inspirations or whatever from the Food Network, I'll take a recipe that I saw someone do and, like, switch it up and then, you know, try it. Now, if it's a recipe, like, if it's something that I've never cooked before whatsoever, I'll follow a recipe, you know, pretty much to the T, and then after I try it once, then I'll switch it up. Like, if it's something I've never cooked before. So yeah.
Can I make a suggestion for you?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I just thought about it just when you were saying that. One day, maybe you should ask your significant other or friend to pick you, just get a random basket and give it to you and ask you to prepare a meal for them. You know, just kind of get your mind going, like, you know, kind of like chop or something like that, and see what you would come up with.
Yeah. Well, the only issue with that is he knows so little about food, I don't think he could even come up with putting something together.
That would be the best part. He would bring home maybe some cheese sticks and some cheese puffs.
Yeah. And what is that show called? Is that what Chopped is?
Yeah, that's what Chopped is.
Well, they have like the random things of food. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah.
I think I'm gonna do that for my wife. I'm gonna bring home a random basket and say, you know what, honey? Let's see you do your magic. when I first got with her, she would tell me, you know, what she's making. I'm like, geez, you eat a lot of Mexican food. She's like, well, I'm Mexican. I'm like, what? So when I meet her parents, the first time I meet her parents, her dad. Her dad is Mexican and her mom's white, but she's Norwegian and has half Danish. And so when he was cooking, he was making mole. I have never even heard of mole because where I grew up in Louisiana, there wasn't that many Mexicans at that time. But when he made that mole, I was like, okay, I'll try it. And as soon as I get into that mole, I was like, this stuff is delicious.
You know, I've never had mole. It does not sound good to me, but if you're saying it's good, I may try it.
It is very good. I don't even know how. What I did was is I made mole barbecue, and all I did was take barbecue sauce and put put cocoa in the barbecue sauce and mix it up a little bit, and then throw it on my chicken. It was so delicious. It was the best chicken I've ever cooked. It was really good. Yeah. So it looks scary at first, but it's just like a. It looks like the way makes it. It just looks like a big chocolate covered Dumbo to me. But it tastes delicious.
Yeah.
And we have it with mashed potatoes and French bread, and it's delicious.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, I've, like, for instance, like, sometimes I'll just get in, you know, an experiment. One time I went and bought some pork, like, the real thick pork chops, like little pork loins,
right.
Wrapped in bacon, and it was like the bacon with pepper. And so I cooked that in some red wine for like 2 hours on the stove. I'm telling you, it tasted like something you would get in a 5-star restaurant. And I haven't replicated it yet because I can't remember exactly what I did. But I need to hear that out again because I want to put that recipe on my site because it was delicious. But I know, but cooking with wine, it really is really good. Like, people need to do that more often.
Cook with wine?
Cook with wine, yeah. And they tell you, too, don't, you know, only cook with wine that you would actually drink. Don't buy, like, cheap wine that you wouldn't drink. Only cook with wine that you would actually drink.
Right. So I like Moscato. So you're saying if I'm going to do that, I need to cook it with Moscato?
Well, I don't know about this. Moscato is really, really sweet. Like, a lot of people cook with a drier white wine. I don't know about the really sweet wine to cook with.
What type of wine do you cook with? I mean, is there a certain type of, I mean, because I don't really cook like that, but with wine, is there a certain type of wine, like, is there, you cook white wine with pork, red wine with beef, is it something like that, or?
Red wine is usually with beef, and red wine, I like cooking with pork, too, but chicken you would use. Chicken or like seafood, you would use white wine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that any particular reason why, or is this a rule?
Well, I know there's reasons, but I don't know the reasons. I just know that's what they do. I didn't go to school to be a chef or anything. I'm just a home cook that likes to experiment.
Right.
So.
Have you ever had Greek food?
Greek?
Yes.
Yes, actually, I lived in Greece for 6 months.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, so, I mean, I was young. My dad was sent there with work, and we went with him. So I was young, but I do remember some of the foods there. It was delicious.
Oh, okay. So, I was going to ask you, have you ever cooked any Greek food before?
I've not really cooked it yet. I would love to. That's still something I need to try. There's still so many different types of food that I haven't cooked that I want to try. You could spend a lifetime learning new things. I've learned how to cook a couple of Nigerian dishes.
Some
staple African foods.
Right. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, well, I was shocked at how spicy their food is. But when you think about it, if you think about, like, how the world was thousands and thousands of years ago, South America and Africa was, you know, one big continent. So they cook very kind of similar. It's very, very spicy and tomatoey, and it's really good. They have a rice called jollof rice, and it's very, very similar to Spanish rice.
Can you say rice for me one more time?
Rice?
Okay, thank you. I love that accent.
You're hearing that southern accent?
I heard it. I did hear it. And what's the rice called again?
Jollof.
Jollof?
Jollof. G-E-L-O-F-S. Jollof rice. Mm-hmm.
And what texture is that?
It's really good.
Is it a sticky rice, or is it just a regular grain rice?
No, it's a regular grain rice. It's very, very similar to Spanish rice. It's a little bit different because they use different spices, but it's kind of the same feel. It's very, very saucy. Very saucy. I mean, his sister taught me how to make this red stew. And when she made it with 4 habanero peppers.
Whoa.
I thought my mouth was going to fall off. It was good, but it was so spicy. So when I make it, I only use like 1 or 2.
Well, that was some real heat right there.
And then she added red pepper. I was like, wow. Crazy.
Man. Yeah,
it's some good food. It's some good food.
I've never really had traditional African food, and I would love to try it. I mean, I would like to go to Africa before I die.
Yeah.
just to experience it. I travel a lot, so I would like to take my wife.
Some of their food is really, really good, and then some of it I have not tried yet because I can't get past the smell. It's
Girl,
just
I am rich, right?
It's like really fragrant.
You went PC on me. You said it was really fragrant. Well, we appreciate you being courteous to those others.
Yeah. Well, I do like a lot of their food, but some of it is, I will leave it for them.
Right. When I was in Germany, I loved eating schnitzels, and I told my wife about it, and she looked up a recipe of how to cook schnitzels and a Jäger schnitzel. And I'm telling you what, when it comes to cooking, she is the bomb. Let me ask you a personal question, it's not too personal, but you were talking about your sister. Do you believe that every woman should learn how to cook before they get married?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just a question. I'm a guy, so of course, I mean,
I do think that guys should know how to cook too. I'm not saying that women belong in the kitchen or whatever, but then I'm very traditional too, so I do feel like it's a good thing to have. Like, if you have a family, you need to be able to provide and cook a good meal for your family and not go out to eat all the time.
Right.
You know? I just
for
feel
sure.
like everyone, I mean, you don't have to know how to cook everything under the sun. Just learn how to cook like 4 or 5 dishes that you can rotate out and you're good. Learn the basics at least.
So if there was one ingredient on the planet that you could live without, what ingredient would that be?
That I could live without?
Yeah.
Huh. Let me think. I could live without. I'm such a foodie, that's hard for me. Hold on. Wow, that's a good question. Hold on. Probably. Oh, that's so hard for me. Hold on. Maybe brown rice. Brown rice. I'm not a big fan of it.
Brown rice?
Yeah.
Okay. What is it about brown rice you don't like about?
The flavor and the texture.
Okay.
I'm a texture person. I don't like things that are like super slimy. Yeah, or like, because brown rice it seems to be a little harder or coarser than white rice, and I don't really like that. But and then any foods that are kind of slimy, I'm not a fan of.
That's slimy?
Slimy. Like oysters, not a fan of oysters.
No, I don't do oysters either. That's not really what's your favorite restaurant you've ever been to? in the state of California.
In California?
Yeah.
Probably this place called El Compadre. It's a Mexican restaurant. That's my favorite restaurant, yeah. You know, I don't have, in Texas, my favorite restaurant's El Paseo.
And where's that located?
That's in Azle, where I grew up.
I was thinking you were going to say, like, Popeye's Chicken or something like that.
No. You know, I'm not a fan of Popeye's Chicken.
You're not a fan?
No, I like their red beans and rice, but other than that, the rest of their food I'm not a big fan of.
Okay, what's your favorite restaurant within the United States?
My favorite restaurant in the United States? Probably El Paseo, the one in Texas.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna have to go to Azle. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's, you know, some people are like, sometimes they're hit or miss. I think it depends on which cook is in the back. But their chips and dip is what got me.
What kind of dip is it?
You know, just the salsa that they make there. And their queso.
Oh, okay.
You know, they don't have queso here in California. It's like a Texas thing or Oklahoma, stuff like that.
Really?
And I finally found a restaurant that served queso here, and it wasn't good. I was so disappointed. Oh, man.
You had to search high and low. And
I know. I always say the only thing I miss about Texas, there's two things I miss: my family and the food. So that's
it. Kind of hard. I wanted to move back to Louisiana so bad because just for the food. Oh, man.
I love Cajun food. I use a lot of Cajun seasoning in my cooking.
Do you know how to make etouffee?
No, I don't know how to make that.
Well, let me give you a recipe. Can I give you a recipe?
You can give me a recipe.
Yeah, it's really easy. All you need is that cast iron skillet that you have. Woof, Lord Jesus. And you go ahead, you saute your onions and bell peppers if you like. If you like bell peppers, but definitely an onion. Give it a little flavor. Doesn't matter what color, white or yellow. And then you get your flour, and you kind of like brown it a little bit, and then
mm-hmm.
kind of like a roux. I mean, sorry,
yeah.
Not the flour. You take butter, depending on how big of a batch of butter you want, you throw butter in there, maybe 2 or 3 tablespoons of butter, and then you let that simmer with your onions, and then you take water and your flour, and you pour it in there, and then you get it to the consistency that you want it. If you want it a little runny, stop at maybe 4 teaspoons or 4 tablespoons, and then if you want it thick, then you pour the whole thing in there. And then you throw either your shrimp or your crawfish in it, and then you throw your seasoning on top of it, and then just let it simmer on a low heat. So about 15 minutes, and it should be done in 30 minutes, and that's your etouffee.
Sounds good.
Oh, it is delicious. We make it all the time. I'm about to make it this week. I'm going to make it this weekend, too, for my sister. So you put it over a baked potato or rice, that's your choices, I guess you could do. But if you put it in, like, some bread, like a French roll or something like that, that's so delicious. Let me stop it. Let me stop talking like that because I'm.
Yeah, my weakness is. I always say the reason that I'm fat is because of bread. I'm like a breadaholic.
Oh, really?
Breadaholic.
Man, I don't really like bread. I stopped eating bread
really?
A long time ago. I mean, I eat bread occasionally, but I'm now I love tortillas. I eat tortillas all the time.
Wow, yeah, I'm a bread person. I can get a French bread and just, that's my meal.
Once again, when I'm with my wife, you know, because I'm so special, I have to always have meat with my milk. And she grew up just having beans. You know, like I said, they're, you know, Mexican, so they just had beans and tortillas and stuff like that. And, you know, with bacon in it. And I'm like, honey, I cannot just eat beans. I need, like, a piece of chicken or pork chop or, you know, some tuna. I have to have meat with my meal. So one day my wife's like, you know what, we have to go on a budget. We're going to go on a vacation. So we started cutting back. And I don't know if you ever heard of this before, but there's a thing called Yum Bowls. And Yum Bowls is basically beans and rice with a sauce. It's kind of like a dressing. It's like an organ. It's an organ thing, I guess. Anyway, so you pour the yum sauce on it and you eat it. And so she had to buy me ham chunks to put in mine. It still wasn't good. So needless to say, I starved.
You know, one thing that's surprising that it took me a while to master is cooking the perfect steak. Because
really?
Yeah. It took me a while to get it consistent. Sometimes it would be awesome, and sometimes it would be a little bit tough. Like, the flavor was always good. I always had that down, but it was the making sure it was super tender. So
right.
I finally got that down, but like steaks can be tricky.
Well, it sure can. It just depends on the type of meat you buy too. The cut.
Yeah.
The cut. Sometimes you go to a restaurant, and I've realized this when you know because I travel a lot around America. Depending on the cook, it's always the cook, and the type of steak that you order will determine if you should get a medium rare or rare. Because some cooks don't know the difference. But it's just, I have to send my steak back a lot, and I don't like doing that. But if I'm going to pay for it, I want to get a steak that I want to eat. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not a big fan of the marbling. Like, I'm not a big fan of a really fatty steak. So, I buy a leaner steak, which you have to tenderize more. And so a lot of people don't realize that. Like, if you buy a lean steak, you really have to, like, really tenderize that.
Right.
And then if you are, like, if you cook it in the skillet, what I do is I sear the sides and then flip it and then put butter on the sides that I seared. And the butter really, really helps tenderize that meat.
Can you say that one more time for my listeners?
Oh, so you butter up your steak after you sear each side. You butter it up and then cook it a little longer, and it makes it super tender, like the leaner steaks.
Once again, guys, we're using butter. Master ingredient. We're using butter. So I just want everybody here to listen. One thing you have to have in your refrigerator is butter. If you don't have butter, your food's gonna be bland.
I know it sounds so bad, doesn't it? But I do use a lot of butter. Butter's so good.
I know it is. You guys need to go buy. Listen, if you're listening to the broadcast right now or later, you need to go to your friend, whoever they may be. If they live in the South, or you maybe find one in a grocery store or a flea market, but get yourself a cast iron skillet right now, today, because all the juices and the flavors is gonna make that steak even better with all that butter you put.
and also what I would say too is if you ladies don't be afraid to get out there and grill. I love to grill. you know, the grill, I mean, first of all, it's healthier for you to grill because the fat renders off and drips down, so you're not, you know, that helps. And then the flavor, it's really, I love to grill.
So you'd rather grill than use your cast iron?
Well, I wouldn't say that, but but I do love to grill, so you know, I love using cast iron, and that's like I try to use it as much as possible. But I use other stuff too. It's not like I specifically use cast iron 100% of the time.
Well, to tell you the truth, I just learned how to start using the grill, which is pretty funny. I was burning chicken left and right, and my wife used to tell me, don't put the briquettes so high and wait till they get white.
Mm-hmm.
I was burning chicken. I was like, well, we have Cajun tonight.
Yeah, well, you know, when I first started making fried chicken, well, I think the first time I made it, the chicken was, I burned the outside and I didn't cook it all the way through because I had the oil up too high. The heat was too hot. But so I mean, cooking it doesn't happen overnight. You have to really practice. And I've always been like a decent cook, but my cooking skills really didn't develop like they are now until, you know, I was lucky enough to work from home, so I was cooking like several times a day, and so I really was able to like practice makes perfect, and it, you know. Just
yep,
you gotta get in there and cook. You just gotta get in there and do it, and do it over and over again, and you'll be good.
Yeah, when I was younger, we had to learn how to cook for ourselves, and so that's how I learned how to cook. And I kind of got lazy because my wife would cook for me and stuff like that. But I mean, I still know how to cook. I cook occasionally, but. I have to say, my guilty pleasure is I'll go to McDonald's and buy 20-piece nuggets and make some mashed potatoes and chicken. I mean, macaroni and cheese.
That's funny.
I don't do it anymore. I go and I buy some chicken wings and I make chicken wings. So that's what I cook. But I'm
yeah,
a mess. That's okay.
Well, I started cooking like... My grandma would have me help her cook in the kitchen when I was little, and so I've been cooking, you know, basically my whole life. So, yeah, I encourage every woman who cooks, you know, if you have a daughter, bring her in the kitchen because it not only teaches her a useful skill, you know, it also creates good memories.
Yes, it does.
You know, some of my fondest memories are being in the kitchen, you know, learning how to cook with my family members. And we still do that.
Oh, go ahead.
Huh? We still do that. We still get together and cook. And like this last Christmas, my mom taught me how to make my grandma's coconut and chocolate cream pies. From scratch. And so, you know, it's fun. You spend quality time with each other and learn how to cook something that was passed down from generations.
Yeah, and like you said, that's even better because not only are you learning a skill, but you're also making that traditional connection that which to me is a very we see this on TV all the time about, you know, the grandmother passed away and everybody comes to the funeral and they have the dinners, they're sitting down at the table and stuff like that. But those things are to me are very important for things like you do, passing down generational skills because I mean generational recipes and love and memories because when you think back to your grandmother, to her grandmother, to her grandmother, or wherever it comes from. I mean that's very legendary in a way. You know, and people don't really treasure those, and people don't really treasure those things anymore. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm fundamentally very traditional, so I totally feel that people should learn from their elders and you know take those traditions and keep them going. You know, as long as the traditions make sense and are beneficial.
right. Like, what are we doing again? well, we're at the top of the hour. I don't know how much time you have left.
Yeah, I'll probably have to go soon. I can't do the whole 2 hours, but...
That's fine. You know, I really, really appreciate you coming on the show, and I know that my listeners appreciate you coming on my show. We didn't have any callers call in, and, you know, it's so late. Oh, sorry, we do have a caller coming. I'm sorry, we have a caller. Oh, they've been waiting for 5 minutes. Hold on. Can you take one question? All right. Hello, caller, how you doing? Can you please say your name and where you're from?
My name is Ashley, and I'm from Texas.
Hello, Ashley.
Hello, how are y'all doing?
It's my sister.
Hi, Ashley. How's your macaroni?
Hi. No, wrong sister. That was the little one.
Oh.
No. Yeah, this isn't the one that made the runny macaroni and cheese. This is the middle sister.
Oh. Okay.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to know what Jennifer's favorite meal was that her mother always made.
My favorite meal that Mom always makes?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Probably the broccoli and rice casserole.
I knew that's what you were going to say. Mine is the roast. I love her roast.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom is a really good cook.
Yes, she is. I've been listening to y'all this whole time, so I thought I'd have to chime in and talk to you guys because y'all are doing really good.
Thank you.
So what do you cook, Ashley?
Well, I don't cook that much anymore because I'm not married. I'm single now, so I'm by myself, so I really don't ever cook. But when I was married, I liked to cook a lot. Mine wasn't really like Jennifer's, though. I'm not like her because I'm a very picky eater. So I like to cook just traditional, simple things without onions because I hate them.
Did you say you said you're traditional without onions?
Yes.
Wait, mine. Did you say you're traditional without onions?
Yeah, mine.
Yes, he did.
It has to be traditional with meat. Yeah,
so I guess you don't eat onion rings.
No, ew, I don't like. I don't like onions at all. No. See, I'm very different.
Why?
Than her, so I'm very picky. Like, she won't eat anything, and not me. So,
is it because they make you cry?
Because they make me what?
Because they make you cry?
No. I just don't like the taste of them. I don't even like the taste. Like, I can't even stand the smell of them. And the taste of them is just horrible. I don't know. I've tried to like them. I really have, and I just don't. There's not a good taste to me. I just always have been a picky eater my whole life, even when I was little. It still hasn't grown out. I've kind of ventured out a little bit. I'll eat salad, but that's about it.
You said you'll eat salad?
Yeah, as far as my ventures go.
Well, Ashley's really good at baking too. She likes to bake too. Yeah.
I took a baking class, like a decorating class, just a small one, but I didn't finish it because I had other things to do. But it was really fun. fun, and I really enjoyed it. But my mom, she's like way better than me. She can do like, she can blow you out of the water. So
have you ever made a, dessert with gummy worms?
No, I haven't.
Are you talking about that, those dirt cakes?
What's that?
You know what? A dirt cake is where they take like Oreos and pudding and put it in a flower pot, and then they put gummy worms in it?
No, I've never even heard of that. That's funny.
They're really good. Those dirt cakes are good.
Is that like a Mississippi? Is that like a Mississippi mud pie?
No, it's like you just layer pudding and then the crushed Oreos, and then you put the little gummy worms in there like they're worms crawling out of a flower pot. It's really good.
It is.
I've never made one, but I've had it.
I haven't.
I'll make it even
good.
So, Ashley, do you live in Angel?
Yes, I do.
Well, hey, listen, we're going to have to hook up and go to this, what's it called? This Mexican place. What's it called?
El Paseo. Yes.
What's that favorite
Mexican? It's pretty good.
Huh?
What's that favorite, your favorite Mexican restaurant?
What?
I don't, what's your favorite restaurant you like to go to?
Mine?
Yeah, the one in Abel.
Well, mine's not El Paseo. Jennifer likes Mexican, but I love Saltgrass, which is a steakhouse.
Is that in Abel?
No.
No.
It's in Fort Worth.
Have you ever been to the Ballin' Crab?
No.
Oh, you don't know what you're missing. Well, do you like seafood?
It's not. I like shrimp.
That sounds, oh, Lord Jesus, such a picky, oh, Lord Jesus.
Yeah. Jennifer cooked one time a salmon, but I tried to cook one time, and it turned out to be a disaster, but she did it really good.
Would you care to tell the story?
She tried to replicate this salmon that I made one time that she really liked. I don't know what happened with it.
It didn't turn out good at all. I can't even remember what I did or how I did it. I just know it was not good. And I've been trying to get Jennifer to make it 100%.
So have you tried to make it after that? I just gave up.
No, I gave up.
Oh, man.
No, the way I make salmon is really simple. I just put it on a baking sheet. I use, it's called Magic something. See, it's like a seafood seasoning. And then I put butter.
Did you say butter?
Yeah, butter.
Awesome.
Okay, wait. Hold on. This is like the fifth or sixth dish you put butter with. We know the magnitude. That ingredient you cannot live without. Right?
Yeah, butter is something that I buy, you know, like the four stick packs of butter.
Yeah.
I use like one of those a week. Yeah.
Oh my God, this is just too much fun. I'm having too much fun. I thank y'all guys for calling in. And I know you can't stay the whole hour, so I'll go. Ashley, do you have anything else you want to say?
No, I'm good, but it was good to talk to you guys, and I love you, sister, and you have a wonderful day.
All right, thanks.
Well,
love
thank
you, too.
Okay, bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Wow, that was fun. No, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking your time to spend with us and my listeners. I had an awesome time. You can come back on anytime you would like. Hopefully you won't stay away too long. If you got anything new that's coming up that you want to promote or anything, just let me know, and I will be happy, more than happy to have you on.
All right, well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
I did too. Thank you. Have a good night.
All right. Thanks, you too.
All right, good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, guys, you know how we do it on the forum. It was just, oh, man, I loved the conversation. It was great, informational. We had some great laughs. Just remember a couple things that she said that I want to reiterate is, you know how we get deep in the show. We talk about family a lot. We talk about tradition. And one thing she said is it's important that women, young women, get taught the traditions of the mother. And if it's not of the mother, maybe it may be the grandmother. I might be a friend of a friend grandmother. But the most important thing is tradition. And within that tradition builds love and it builds character and it builds compassion. And the one thing that we love to do on the forum is talk about love and compassion. Well, we love talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And then when you get that fruits of the Spirit, once you praise Jesus and give him the Holy Ghost, you got to have that FOOD. You got to have food. You got to re-energize. And I tell you what, I love the cast iron skillet. It was one of those things when I grew up, my mama had it on her stove, and I had no idea why it was there, but because she didn't cook it. But I tell you what, I never forgot that thing. It was always on the stove. And just thinking about it brings back memories. It's an awesome thing. If you have not checked out Jennifer's site, I ask you guys to please check it out. It's Cast Iron Queen. That's CastIronQueen.com. www.castironqueen.com. She's also on Facebook. You can go in and you can Google it, or you can go on Facebook and do it. Her name is Jennifer Nicole Cherry, and she is the Cast Iron Queen. Once again, she's just something that she always loves to do. She loves to cook, just like I love to talk. I'm on the radio show. This is what we do. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a desire to do something and you haven't done it yet in your life, time is too short not to do something that you love. Do it. My name is George Beverly. This is Sound Off Forums. The next time I hear you or see you, you should be sounding off. Good night and God bless.